Well, there was a young mother who was working, doing housework, and she heard a cry from the other room. Have any of your parents ever been there? Yeah. She hears a ruckus from the other room. She goes in, and she sees her two-year-old daughter with a handful of her five-year-old brother's hair just doing this. Of course, she goes over and gets the little girl to let go, and she looks at her son and says, "You just got to figure." She doesn't know what it feels like to have her hair pulled. So a mother went back to her work, and here in a minute, she heard her daughter screaming bloody murder. She runs back and says, "What happens?" The son goes, "She knows what it feels like now." Have you ever done that? Ever had your emotions get the best of you, or your emotions cause you to do something rash and go in a direction that you later regretted? Because I imagine the boy regretted it after he was punished for doing what he did. But unfortunately, we've all been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. I mean, we've all done that. Feelings are very strong. They're powerful. They're immediate, and they're real. And they are hard to overcome. It's hard not to follow our feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. Feelings are not bad. That's one thing I need to say right there. Feelings are not a bad, you know, get them completely out of our lives. Don't have any Trekkies, because nobody got that reference, do we? Well, on the TV show, for those of you who don't know, on the TV show, there's a race of called Vulcans, and they purge their emotions, so they only worked out of logic, no emotion whatsoever. So that's the reference there. You know? But anyway, we don't need to pretend that they have no place in our lives. They were given to us by God. And the problem with our feelings comes in when we trust them more than we trust the Lord, when we depend upon them rather than depending upon Jesus. Last week, we began our sermon series called Faith, and we asked the question, what is faith? And of course, faith is wholehearted trust and dependence on Jesus. That's what we came with. And if you haven't figured it out already, we're going to be talking about feelings today. Not just feelings, but faith and feelings. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 14, verse 42. That's going to be our main passage. Then we're going to look at Luke chapter 22, verses 43 and 44. But have you ever really thought about the fact that Jesus has emotions? Have you really thought about that? God has emotions, and Jesus, as God, then has emotions. God feels anger. He feels sadness and betrayal. He feels pleasure and joy and love. And when Jesus became a man, he didn't leave all that behind. It came with him. But as God, his emotions were always in check. They were always, always in the proper place. Never once did they run rampant. Never once was he tempted to use them in an ill-advised manner at all. But when he became a man, all that changed. That changed. As God, he never thought about using his emotions in an unhealthy way. But when he became a man, he was tempted to do just that. He was tempted to allow his emotions, his feelings to rule over him, and to use them in selfish ways. How do we know this? How do we know that he was tempted to do that? Well, Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." So, this tells us that Jesus has been tempted in every way we are. Are you ever tempted to let your emotions get the best of you? Yes. So if we've been tempted in that way, so has Jesus. He's been tempted to let his emotions rule. And there's a lot of places we can go in the scriptures to look at Jesus' emotions. But the one that we want to look at today, Jesus is struggling with his emotions as at no other time in his life. There in Mark 14, verses 32 through 42, is a scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. So I want to read that. You follow along. And then we will discuss this for a little bit. So they went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples, found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went away, and he prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. Returning a third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, here in this passage, would you say that Jesus' emotions were a little turned up? They were just a little bit turned up, a little overwhelming. And then in Luke, it just tells us exactly how overwhelming that is. In Luke chapter 22, verse 43 and 44, Jesus is praying. It says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus indeed has feelings. We see that here as no other place. He's not this cold, unfeeling, emotionless person. Jesus laughs, and he cries, and he sighs. He experiences excitement and joy and love and heartache. All of that. We see that all the way through scriptures. I mean, so many places in scripture we see him cleansing the temple. Everybody loves cleansing the temple story because they see God get angry. You know, everybody loves that. So that's where most people think about it. But he showed frustration. Oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Where he wept. Where did he weep? We see him weep at Lazarus' tomb. We see him weeping over Jerusalem in the triumphal entry. When he looked at the crowd, what did he do? He always looked at them, had compassion on them, and loved them. So we see the emotions of God throughout Scripture. But this passage is different. His emotions are so raw here. They are overwhelming, he says, to the point of death. So stressed that he's sweating drops of blood. Every instinct in him is telling him to run, to hide, not to go down this road. His emotions are screaming, this is not the way. Find another route. Don't go down this road. Don't put yourself through this. Get out and get out now. And how many times does Matthew say he prayed this prayer? Three times. Three times he prayed that prayer. And we understand, at least to a point, how he felt. Life is crushing in on us. It's tough. Things are dark. It's rough. And we are just getting beat up. We feel alone. And we know that things, we just know it deep in ourselves, that things are going to get worse before they get better, if they ever do get better. Every fiber of our being is telling us to run, to get out, to throw in the towel. We understand what it means and have that impulse to escape, to run. See, here Jesus' emotions are telling him one thing, and God was telling him another. He wanted to find another way. He wanted to do it differently. But all three times when Jesus knelt and said, God, take this cup from me, not my will, but yours, what did the Father do? He just pointed to the cross. All three times. So what do we do? Here Jesus is. His feelings, his emotions are saying, here's what I want to do. God is saying, here's what you must do. And we get in that same situation. So what do we do when our faith and our feelings are at odds? When our logic says, go left, and God says, go right. When we believe we should speak, we should say something, and Jesus says, remain silent. When we're hurt and we want revenge, we want to hurt those who've hurt us, and the Lord says, forgive. What do we do when he says, trust me, follow me, and our feelings say, ignore him and go your own way? What do we do? Well, here Jesus was in that situation. He wanted to go this way, and the Father was saying, go this way. What did he do? Did he find another way? Did he cut and run? Did he get... allow his emotions to get the better of him? No. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Simply put, he did what God wanted him to do. That's a simple way of putting that. He went to the cross. But how? That's the question. How did he do that? How did he put aside the shame, get past the fear and the anxiety? How did he keep all those overwhelming emotions to keep him from going to the cross? Let's take a look back at our passage there in verse 36. Well, let's go to 32 first. When he got there, verse 32, he says, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus says, I will sit here while I do what? While I pray. He turned to God. He went to the Father. And he says in verse 36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. He goes, Lord, I know you can do it. Father, I know you can do it. I don't want to go down this road. Take it away. This is how I feel. This is where I am. This is what I want to do. I want out. I want to run because I don't want to die. I especially don't want to die like that. See, he was open and he was honest with his face. He didn't try to sound pious. He didn't try to put on a brave front. He laid it all out there. He said, this is what I want. But he didn't stop there. One might expect him to say, this is what I want, so I'm out of here. I am gone. And if he had bought into the conventional wisdom of saying, follow your heart. Ever heard that? Follow your heart. Oh, it sounds so special and so sweet. Or trust in your feelings. Trust your gut. You know. But he didn't say, I'm out of here. He didn't say, see you. Instead, look what else he says in verse 36. He says, take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you. Even though this is what my emotions are telling me to do, you're telling me to do something different. If you say this is the only way, if you say this must happen, then I'm going to trust you, I'm going to follow you, rather than trusting and following my feelings. See, he went to the Father and let the Father sort it out. He said, what I'm feeling is different than what you've told me. Help me trust you. Help me to ignore the impulse to trust my feelings. Give me the strength to do what's right, whatever I feel. So what do you do when your faith and your feelings are at odds? We turn to God and we trust Him. That's what we do. We turn to God and we trust Him. Now in the midst of all of this turmoil, as Jesus is wrestling with His emotions, struggling with His feelings, did God leave Him to struggle alone? What did it say in Luke? He sent an angel to minister to him. God strengthened him, gave him what he needed, and helped him to do what was right. Now, we struggle with our feelings. We all do. Sometimes we struggle more than others, but we do struggle. But when we struggle, if we will turn to God, He will not turn us away. He will not go, well, just suck it up, buttercup. Come on, get it together. He's not going to do that. He comes to us and He gives us the help that we need. He strengthens us. He ministers to us, encourages us, gives us the ability to trust and follow His will rather than giving in to our feelings. And that's a struggle. I'd love to tell you it was easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. We read right here. He went back to the Father 3 times. And when I read that, that really gives me a lot of encouragement. Because I will pray, and I know you've done the same thing. God, this is how I feel, but I want to do your will. And He says, okay, do this. Well, Lord, are you sure? I still feel this way. Are you sure that's what I need to do? Yeah, I go, well, God, are you really sure? Am I right? Is that not what we do? We do. Because, one, we're unsure, and two, it's hard to let go and trust the Lord. But He will give us the strength to do that. But even though he's there, even though he will give us that strength so often, too often, we bow to our feelings rather than to the Lord. We look at God's Word, and we read in God's Word something, and we go, yeah, I'm not sure that's for me. I'm not sure I really want to go down that path. And so we say, really, this is the way I think I should go. So I'm going to do this rather than this. Or we have the Lord speak to us through our prayer time or through music or whatever. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Let's just take this for instance. I'm not picking on anybody, but just for instance, the outreach. God says, I want you to be part of the outreach. And you're thinking, I really don't want to do that. I don't feel like I should. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at me, whatever. So I'm just not going to do that, Lord. And we go down a different path instead of the path that he has chosen for us. And in doing that, what are we doing? We're putting ourselves above the Lord, believing that our emotions will lead us down the right, in the right direction, and that they are more reliable than God. Achan. How many of you know the name Achan from Scripture? Achan was an Israelite. They were fixing to take Jericho. And God told the Israelites, don't take anything out of Jericho. Nothing. Leave it all in the city and burn it all. Well, Achan saw some money and he saw some clothes. And by his own words, he said, I sought it and I desired it. So I took it. He followed his feelings rather than God and ended up costing him his life. Things didn't work out too well. Didn't lead him in the right direction. How many cop shows? Do we have anybody here that like cop shows or murder mysteries or anything? Anybody watch any of those? A few of you do, yeah. I mean, what is it about those we love? I don't know. I guess it's seeing the bad guy get it in the end. I don't know what it is. Or just the puzzle, trying to put it together before they reveal the one who did it. But how many of those shows have you seen where the person is sitting with the cops and they go, oh, I didn't mean to do it. I just got so angry. Right? I mean, that's kind of the staple line in there. They get angry. Their emotions get out of line, and it does not lead them down the right path. How many times has a couple who's in love, their emotions are high, and they think they ought to take it to the next level. They want to give themselves to each other, but of course the Word of God says don't, and they end up giving themselves to one another, and then they find out they're expecting. They didn't go down the right road. Their feelings took them in the wrong direction. Emotions and feelings don't always lead us in the right direction. As I said, emotions are not bad. Don't hear me say that. Emotions are not bad. They were given to us by God. God has emotions. If they were bad, God would not have emotions because God is perfect, right? So they do have their place in our lives. They do have our place in our worship. I mean, how many of you sit here emotionless every Sunday morning going, I've seen some of you. Just kidding. I'm sitting facing this way. But see, even in our worship, emotion has its place. But if we put our faith in our feelings, they lead us away. They can lead us away from the Lord. Satan loves to use our feelings against us. He loves to manipulate them, and he's good at it. That's what he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, wasn't it? He got their emotions all stirred up because he told them, God's holding out on you. And so they ate the forbidden fruit, and that worked out real well, right? No, it did not. The devil stirred up David when Nabal refused to pay him for services rendered, and David decided to kill Nabal and all the male members of his household. If it wasn't for Abigail, Nabal's wife, David would have committed what? He would have committed murder. His emotions would have taken him in the wrong direction. And then later on, do you think that Satan was laughing when David gave in to his emotions, slept with Bathsheba, and murdered Uriah, her husband? Or when Peter pulled out the sword in the garden and cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant? He was loving every minute of it. See, emotions are given to us by God, but they were never meant to be the driving force in our lives. Faith should be the driving force. Faith in Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you always feel like going to work, those of you who still work? Or or those of you who are in school, do you always feel like going to school? Do you always feel like mowing the lawn? Harry, be quiet. You always feel like mowing the lawn. You always feel like cleaning the house. No, you don't always feel like doing those things. You don't always feel like doing what the boss tells you to do or what your teacher tells you to do. But you do it, right? Because you choose to put aside your feelings and get the job done. See, when our feelings don't match what God has told us to do in His Word or His Word to us, we've got to choose to go to Jesus and let Him help put our feelings aside and do what God has told us to do. Faith and feelings are not always opposed, though. You know that. Faith and feelings are not always opposed. But at times they are. Generally, we think of negative feelings as leading us down the wrong path. We've already touched on this, but even positive feelings can lead you down the wrong path. How many people have done the wrong thing in the name of love? There's an old country song out there that says, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That kind of sums it up pretty well. You know, I'd rather go with my feelings than do what's right. See, the problem with feelings is that they're tainted. They're tainted by our fallen nature. Sin's mixed in there, so they makes them suspect. We have to be weary of them and weigh them against what the Word of God says and what God has told us. Let me give you a few for instances. How many of you have ever felt unloved or unlovable? Okay, that's how we feel many times. What does the Word of God say? You are loved beyond measure. I love you. That's what God says. I love you. That's what this book is about. I love you. How many of you have ever felt alone and abandoned? What does God's Word say? I'm always with you. I'm with you always. Never will I leave you and forsake you. I'm your friend and I stick closer than a brother. Ever felt worthless? Unworthy? God says you're worth the life of my son. So see, when we get our feelings are there, we think this must be true because this is the way I feel. We have to look at what God has said in His Word and what God has said to us and say, okay, which is true? Which is true? Are my feelings true, or is what God said is true? Am I going to trust what I feel, or am I going to trust God? And see, that's where we have to weigh those feelings against what God says to make sure we're doing and we're walking in faith. The thing about emotions is that they are a reaction to our immediate circumstances. And they are very seldom that we see all the circumstances. It's only what we see. We rarely see the whole picture. In any given situation, there's a lot that we don't see, a lot of information we're not privy to. And because we don't see the entire picture, we can let our feelings carry us to do things that we shouldn't do and lead us to say things we shouldn't say and to go places we shouldn't go and create problems and issues that wouldn't be an issue or a problem if we had simply come to the Lord, laid our feelings before Him, and trusted Him rather than our feelings. Carrie may know this name because she's a big baseball fan. But Earl Weaver, you know that name? Okay, this is quite a few years ago. I just didn't know if you might remember his name. He was the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, not the Oreos. You know, the Oreos are the cookies. The Orioles is a bird. But He had to handle big egos like Reggie Jackson. You know, those are some big stars, big egos that come along with that. And he had one rule. You do not steal a base unless you get the signal. Well, Reggie did not like that rule. He said, I know the pitchers, I know the catchers, I know who I can steal off of and who I can't. So one day, he steals second without the signal. He gets up, dusts himself, you know, he's feeling good about himself because he made it easily, no problem whatsoever. And then later on, Earl called Jackson aside, told him why he didn't tell him to steal. He says, first of all, the guy at bat behind you, Reggie, is the next best power hitter besides you. When you stole second, they just walked him. Didn't even give a chance to hit the ball. And the guy after him, you know he's no good against this pitcher. So I had to put a pinch hitter in so to try to drive you two in and score some runs. And that did not leave me with any bench strength for the later in the game when I really needed it. Reggie only saw the game from his perspective. He didn't see the entire picture, so he followed his feelings, let pride dictate his actions, and it cost him and his team. It cost them a game. See, God sees everything. He sees the entire story. There's no information he does not have. So if he has all the information, he can lead us to do the right thing, to do the best thing, even when our feelings are telling us it's the wrong thing. Ever been there? God's telling you, do this, do this, do this, and every part of your being says, no, that is not the right way to go. But we have to trust him rather than our feelings. So how do we walk in faith and avoid following our feelings? We make a choice, the same choice Jesus made. We trust the Lord. We choose to tell him, this is how I feel. We give him our emotions, place them under his authority, and ask him to lead us to where we need to go. Now, I think it's safe to say from our conversation that we've had about this passage that Jesus did not want to go to the cross because he felt like it. He did not feel like going to the cross. He went to the cross despite his feelings. He trusted the Father and put his faith in him and listened to what he received because he did follow the Father and go to the cross. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we trust Jesus, we are not going to receive a name above every name. There's only one of those, and it's Jesus. We're not going to be exalted to the highest place because there's only one place and Jesus is already there. But we will be blessed here on earth. We will be rewarded in heaven, all to the glory of God. And as we choose faith over feelings, God's grace and his power flows into our lives and through our lives. And there is no greater blessing than that. There's no greater blessing than that. So this morning, a question before us is simply this. Are we going to be like Jesus and put faith before feelings? Or are we going to put our feelings before our faith? Which one is guiding our life? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're patient with us because this is an area that we all struggle with, and you know we struggle with it. You struggled with it. There in the garden, you struggled between faith and feelings. And Father, if you struggled, we know we're going to struggle. So we admit our struggle. We admit that there are times when we just give in. And we go with our feelings rather than trusting you. Forgive us when we do that. Lord, even though we know you understand, we're still broken over the fact that we don't follow you. I pray this morning that you will indeed fill me. Father, that you would come to me and help me see your will. Do your will, no matter how I feel, whether I'm scared, whether I'm frustrated, whether I'm angry, whatever the case may be, whatever emotions are running through my mind and my heart, help me to come to you and give them to you and allow you to set those aside so that I can follow you in spite of those things. Because I know when you went to the cross, you were not excited about doing that. When you left the garden, you were not, all right, this is going to be great. You still felt overwhelmed. You still felt the dread of the nails. You knew what was coming and you were not looking forward to it. But Lord, you stayed the course. And you saved us. Father, if I will stay the course, what will you accomplish? What will I get to see you do? How will I see you walk in my life? How much closer to you will I get to walk if I just simply trust and not let the fear, not let the anxiety, not let the uncertainty, not even let those good emotions of love and all get in the way? So, Father, sometimes you call us to do things that are difficult. You don't call us to do anything that you don't give us the ability to do through the power of the Spirit. So this morning, I just pray that I'll put faith above feelings. Not once, not twice, but every time. And Lord, when I don't, that you would point that out very quickly so that I can remedy the situation and get on the right path. Thank you, Father, for revealing these things to us. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for giving us the grace that we need to walk with you. In Jesus' name.